Hello, everyone, and welcome to our new episode of Toonami Therapy. It is October 18th. I got the dates wrong. It's October 18th. We're going to go through the stuff that aired on Toonami last week, as usual. And as usual, I am pretty sure I had a good idea for a witty quip to start this out with, but I forgot it in the meantime. I should really write these things down. But I'm not the only one on this podcast. I'm just a more important one. I'm Michael, and my co-host...
Tommy.
All right. And we'll be getting through stuff that we were doing, that we were talking. I better start moving on before I start stammering even more. All right, so we'll begin with My Hero Academia, episode 22, which is Baku... So we have Bakugo versus Uraraka. So they fight, and Bakugo, of course, has super great electricity power stuff, so she are actually explosion powers, really, not electricity. So basically, to summarize the fight, she's been using the whole thing with her gravity powers to basically levitate everything up into the air with the hope of, you know, bringing it all down, on him to beat him, but he's able to destroy it beforehand, so therefore he's able to win. Then there's a bunch of stuff about Uraraka talking to her parents that I don't care about, so we'll skip over that. And then in the meantime, those two guys who ended up tying then have a tiebreaker for like an arm wrestling match, which was kind of funny. But then then there's some setup for, you know, the next match, which is Deku versus Todoroki, you know, the guy with the fire and ice powers who has this really severe case of daddy issues. So I thought the episode was decent. I mean, the fight itself I liked, but then like so much of the stuff between it where it's like, oh, I'm feeling bad for myself for losing. Oh, well, now I'm cheered up. That kind of felt that was kind of boring to me.
Yeah, that was boring. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't like the episode too much because it was too predictable, you know?
We obviously figured that, like, you know, Bakugo would win, but I at least thought that, you know, Uraraka, she at least put up a real fight. She had a kind of cool plan there. It just didn't work out in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we'll do something that we've actually normally been skipping because you wanted to talk about. We've got Naruto, episode 222. Do you want to go over it, or do you want me to?
Yeah. Yeah, so basically, Madara Uchiha, or suppose who's the, you know, that's what they know him as.
Mm-hmm.
He's still trying to collect all the tailed beasts, and Tsunade is finally... back to normal, so she doesn't want Naruto to end up being caught, so Naruto was busy singing the Froggy song, and basically Naruto it gets fooled by her because he comes back and she wants to put him someplace safe, so she gives him supposedly an S-rank mission, and that's just to get him, like, away so he's not as easily caught, and so he goes off to do his big mission, and that's it.
Okay, well, there were technically, she didn't, like, originally want to sort of send him into hiding. She basically kind of had to be forced into it by the other Kages, like, insisting that that's what they would need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, Yeah, it was kind of there to hide him, but it, admittedly, it was also to try to, you know, have him learn from Killer Bee how to actually, like, control the nine-tailed fox. But yeah, and then there was some other stuff, and I was just like the part where Sakura is like, you know, all worried about the possibility of Naruto and Sasuke fighting each other and getting hurt, and then she's like, oh, if they both get hurt, who do I heal first? I'm thinking, maybe the one who's actually on your side and isn't trying to kill you. I did think the sort of comic relief with those two guys who were like trying to, you know, sell the tickets for Killer Bee's show. That was kind of pretty funny, honestly.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Yeah, so that covered Naruto. It was decent. I normally haven't been really watching Naruto, but this was a better episode than a lot of what we had been getting. It was a little boring at first because it was kind of set up, but then it kind of got into some more interesting things. All right. So then we go from Naruto and we skip forward, I don't know, 20, 30 years. I don't know how hard this is. To Boruto, episode 3. So, Metal Lee, who is I assume Rock Lee's son. Who names their kid Metal? I mean, Rock is a weird name, but it's okay. But Metal? I mean, but anyway. So he ends up basically getting possessed by an evil force, like that kid from the first episode, and they and he ends up, you know, fighting the other characters, but then they're able to beat him and, you know, restore him to normal. And, yeah, that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Not too much to say.
Yeah, this episode was okay, but not great.
Okay. All right. On to something that I probably will have more to say about. Fooly Cooly Alternative Episode 6. So, in this episode, with Earth being in imminent danger, well, first there's kind of a whole lot of time spent on you know, like, the friends just doing stuff. And then, then at the end, the main character does something that saves the world somehow, and resets everything in some way, and Haruko somehow goes somewhere, and I don't know, it felt like there were like 2 minutes of the episode that explained all this stuff that was just cut out.
Yeah.
Because it just skips from like her doing some sort of thing, and then it's just like, and then it just skips to them like being normal in their lives and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did I miss something? Because it feels like that's what happened.
Yeah. That was weird.
Yeah. Also, I was totally wrong about that one guy being Naota, which kind of was obvious in retrospect, because he, it's weird, because I got him mixed up with a different character in this show and thought they were the same, but they weren't, but I thought he was, like, the father of one of the characters, but I was totally wrong on that. The point is, the guy who that older guy who was, like, spent time with Haruko or something, not Naota, he just looked like him. And that's kind of weird that that in these two seasons you never saw Naota again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really didn't like this episode.
Yeah, I don't remember what I gave it on my blog, but
you were more complimentary towards it than I thought you would. You like gave it like 2.5 stars, said it was like half decent,
I think. Yeah. Well, I mean, at least that stuff at the beginning, wherever they're like thinking about the end of the world, it was, I don't know, it was kind of coherent, and it actually made sense. I didn't like how everything got solved just with her just figuring out how to love or something.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah, your exact words were, it wasn't half bad. But I really, Well, first, like, the first half of it or so just kind of felt like, you know, oh, this is just them doing stuff, and it didn't really seem that important. And then they just rushed through all this conclusion to an ending that doesn't really make sense. Like, what happened to Haruko? Where is she? What's going on? All this stuff. I just really, it's just so confusing and such a mess that it act for so long. I've been like saying, well, alternative, it's not great. It's better than progressive. I'm actually questioning that now, because progressive at least had a coherent ending, in my view. At least the last episode was actually decent looking back. This, where like, you know, it like tied things together. It resolves the major, it resolved things and such. It even kind of continued the original series, because Haruko was trying to find Adamisk in that. And then this one, she actually does meet him, even if he leaves. So I don't know. I don't know which one I would consider worse now. Probably progressive, just because more of it was worse, but the ending of it was a lot better than this one, which had like just such a bad ending.
Well, I mean, I kind of like the slice of life with the world coming to an end part of it. I do agree, though, that the way everything gets solved doesn't make any sense at all. And that's, you know, and with the way you say it, you're right that it seems like we just missed something that wasn't there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We missed a couple minutes of action that just would have explained everything, but weren't there. And, yeah.
And especially when you look at this whole season, like, Haruko was pretty irrelevant through the whole thing when you get down to it. Like, progressive, you know, she was around, she was, like, more important in, stuff, a real driver. Here, it's like, I don't know why she was there. Like, it, and, like, no, the main characters just don't even seem to really care about her antics. Like, I saw, like, someone say, it's probably not intentional, but it feels like a commentary of how kids will, like, you know, not notice references to older, to things, like, on shows that are, like, more directed towards, like, the adults. But, yeah, it's, like I said, I think I'd put alternative above progressive just because more of it was watchable, even if progressive managed to actually stick the landing a lot better, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, neither of them is anywhere near as good as the original series. And like I said, I was not a huge fan of the original series. I liked it, but I'm not one of those, oh, this was the best anime ever sort of people.
Mm-hmm.
And but it made me sort of appreciate it more. I don't know, it just leads me with the question of, like, why were these seasons made exactly?
Yeah, really. That's one of the things I wonder. Like, what was the point of this Fooly Cooly whenever it was just Fooly Cooly in name only, you know?
Yeah, like, most of, like, I don't think many people from the original, like, production team were involved in this. I think, like, the original director was, sort of, but I think he had a smaller role. I know the original writer wasn't in this, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly, while I didn't hate the last episode of Alternative, I really feel these series were a waste of time, you know? I just don't get why they had to be made, and yeah, I don't...
Exactly. Yeah. It's not like, okay, I didn't like the last season of Samurai Jack, but there was a reason for it to be made. The story wasn't complete, and the original creator wanted to return and finish the story. I didn't like the way they finished the story, but there was absolutely a reason to make it.
Oh, one other thing that bothered me about this episode is that you come to the end of the episode, and they start up playing the Little Buster song, mm-hmm. and you think, okay, this the series is going to end with Little Busters playing, and you know it's going to have this very appropriate ending for Fooly Cooly, that they'll play Little Busters and then that'll be it. And then they don't play it. They just start it up and then they don't play it. And it's like, well, that would have been the best way to end Fooly Cooly. If you wanted to end it with Little Busters playing, and you know, at least everyone could go out on a good note or something. But
The song realized it was too good for the episode. It was like, no. Sorry. I'll play a little of myself, but you don't deserve me. I'm sorry. I'm too good of a song for this lame of a show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, I guess not really much else to say. I'm still like surprised that we didn't have like any real follow up on like Nauta or really the other characters. We just kind of had Haruko around, even though, I mean, I guess she was the most memorable part of the original series, but she was still only one part of it, and the rest didn't really carry over. Season two, I mean, I can kind of see what they were sort of going for and trying to sort of make it, and whereas the third was just this totally different thing that feels like they just like kind of, it feels like a weird slice of series, and they just like rewrote the scripts to add Haruko into it.
Yeah, and the thing about the alternative as opposed to progressive is that the episodes may have been like more entertaining because they had the slice of life stuff, but ultimately it was even less like Fooly Cooly than progressive was, you know?
Yeah, the whole thing just had the feel of, like I said, my question is why, like, make it? It had the feel of a case where, you know, the original writer, like, it feels like the original people, like, they weren't, like, so, in the case of Samurai Jack, Genndy Tartakovsky, whose name I probably butchered, he was, like, he wanted to, for a while, he had been wanting to come in and complete the story of the series, conclude it. Whereas here, it doesn't really feel like there is an impetus from, like, people who made the original one to, like, oh, man, we've got some great ideas. We want to continue with this, make another season. It just feels so much like, you know, some, like, executive at Cartoon Network or Gainax. Or did Gainax make this? I think they did. Was like, okay, well, Fooly Cooly was popular. Let's make another season. Let's just get some people together and have them make it, which, like, so rather than, you know, people like, you know, wanting to make the, having ideas and wanting to make the show, it was like, okay, make a show, come up with ideas for it, which just kind of made it feel a bit uninspired, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I explained that well.
No, that makes sense to me. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Anything else to add?
No, that's about it. I'm glad Fooly Cooly's over. I hope we never see another episode of Fooly Cooly again.
Well, another new episode, at least. I'm okay with rewatching some of the original series, at least.
I don't really care.
I mean, not something that I go out of my way to do, but it's like I wouldn't mind it, basically. Yeah. Okay, we'll move on to Attack on Titan episode 45. So, okay, so basically, Rod Reese's been turning into like this big Titan, and everything's crumbling down around the main characters, and they all seem trapped and stuck, and their ways out are super risky. Fortunately, Eren sees a bottle that's marked armor, although it might as well be marked Deus Ex Machina. So he basically uses it, and then he gains the power in his Titan form to actually like harden and such, that thing that they were trying to do in order to plug the wall. And he's able to do it to protect everyone from the falling debris, and everyone gets out, And they reel, and then with that power, they're like, wow, now we can totally plug that wall. We can go in, and we can, like, you know, go into your father's basement. And then there's, like, this almost meta comment where Seth was like, oh, I forgot all about that. But in the meantime, they still have that giant titan that's just crawling towards the walls to deal with. So they have to come up with a way to get rid of it. And then our big grand cliffhanger is Erwin says that he won't evacuate. Dun dun dun. That just felt like such a weird cliffhanger. Because that's literally where it ends. He's like, no, I won't evacuate. And someone goes, why? And that's the end.
Yeah, what is Erwin doing anyway?
What do you mean?
Like, what's his job?
He's like in charge of, like, you know, the scouts. The guys, you know, go out and, like, fight the Titans and stuff.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought Levi won.
No, he's just, like one of, like, the... Like, he's basically just, like, the strongest of all of them.
Oh, okay, I see.
So, yeah, it was a decent episode. There were, like, Aaron's, like, kind of angsting at the start was kind of annoying, but he got over it quickly, and then it's even, like, funny where a character later on is, like, mentions how annoying he was when he was doing that. So, what did you think then?
I thought, you know, I don't remember what I put on my blog again, but I guess it was all right. You know, it was okay.
Go on.
It wasn't bad. So, I mean, again, some of that stuff with Aaron angsting was annoying, you know, but otherwise, it, you know, it was pretty good stuff, you know, it wasn't bad, so,
yeah. I'm annoyed with myself that you came up with the idea unintentionally entertaining last episode, and I never thought that of actually using that for the, like, name for that episode of the podcast.
Yeah, I thought that's what you were going to use as the name, actually.
No, I just went with that, like, hold back the tears, like, from that cheesy line instead. You know what? I'm just going to, I feel like it's unimportant. I'm going to add it in the episode description right now. Let's see. There you go. Now it's mentioned in the description. Okay. So now we've got that. That was Attack on Titan. I should mention that apparently we're not at that point yet, but apparently in Japan, it's going to be going on, the series is going on a mid-season hiatus soon, which is kind of annoying because it looked like it was just about to get to the really good stuff. But yeah, so we'll be at that point, I don't know, I think in like maybe a month or so it'll presumably go on hiatus here also. Not really sure why they're doing it. Apparently it's going to be a few months, but meh.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we've got, we'll move on to Diamond is Unbreakable, Episode 8. So, in this episode, a girl falls in love with Koichi. Unfortunately for him, she's completely insane. It's like to the point where she uses her stand powers, because of course she has a stand power, basically attack people she thinks might have a crush on him, and eventually to basically kidnap him and because to force him to improve himself by making his grades better, basically forcing him to answer these questions and making him eat like really gross stuff if he doesn't get it right.
Yeah.
Which was kind of funny. And so that was it. Her stand power apparently is like ability to control her hair. So if she can like get your hair onto you, then she can control you also. So we'll see how Koichi is able to get out of this situation, especially considering his stand power really seems to only have the ability to make noise right now.
Yeah.
Although I do have a theory on what the inspiration for this story was. I think that the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure author, he must have gone to fanfiction.net and looked at the JoJo crossovers, and then he realized, wait, how am I doing this? I don't think fanfiction.net exists at the time I was doing this. So he picked out a crystal ball and used it to look into the future. And he saw that there has not been a crossover between JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and Stephen King's Misery. So he decided to write one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, it does remind me of that book, which I never read, but I read the synopsis. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, this was a fun episode, I thought.
Yeah, it was fun. It didn't make much sense, but... I did enjoy it a lot, so...
Well, yeah. I mean, like, I don't think her actions are, like, supposed to make sense. She's supposed to be crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like trying to make sense of, like, the Joker's actions in The Dark Knight. The point is, they don't make sense.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah.
Okay, so we got Hunter x Hunter episode 115.
Okay, so basically you better remember your passcode because your life depends on it. And that's how this elevator works that the octopus is using. And he punches in the key and goes down and tries to find Paul. Meanwhile, the other ants are watching him and trying to... make sure that he doesn't, do anything. And
mm-hmm.
and then you've got this whole thing where as Knuckle goes to the battle, Malorion starts sneaking around and he has to catch his breath. So... he has to take a breath. So whenever he does, that allows that one ant to notice something went wrong, and he's trying to catch up to him. And then a lot of other stuff was just the narrator acting like we're stupid and explaining every last thing, even though you can obviously tell what's going on just by watching on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So, this wasn't a very good episode.
Yeah, and some of the stuff that he said, like that you couldn't tell, wasn't even important. Like, because he was talking about, I can't remember his name, like the one, the guy with the smell ability. And it, like, and the narrator's like mentioning like he wanted to become king behind the scenes, not a true king, since a true king would have more worries than he could tolerate. And I'm like, why did you say that? What does it have to do with anything? And like, it's one of the worst examples though. Is so the situation is that Melioran, I keep getting mixed up because there's this character from the manga Black Clover. The anime hasn't introduced him yet, who's named Mario Leona, and I keep getting them mixed up. So he's he has to exhale and then hold his breath again, and that's when Welfin, that's his name, like, you know, realizes that. So like, he's like, all right, come out there or else I'm going to shoot you with my stuff. And there's like, you know, all this build up. He's going 1, 2, 3, and then he shoots it and nothing happens. And then like the narrator's like just saying, but by that time, Melioron was long gone. And I'm just like, so you did all that for that much of an anticlimax? You just say, oh, and but he got away. Like, you could have just like had him start doing that, and then Melioron like thinks, okay, I better get out of here, and then he like, you know, leaves, and while we're seeing that, and then it could have actually been kind of a little funny then, the fact that he's like spending this time, you know, being threatening when Melioron's already gone, but instead we get all this stuff, and then we find out, oh, he wasn't there, he just walked off while the narrator spent all this time talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, like, the most interesting part of this was probably just, like, the stuff with, Yopi. That was actually kind of a little interesting. Him fighting against Knuckle, but that was pretty brief, and we didn't see much of it.
Yeah. Also, I should mention that Gon and Kivua, have met up with Pito.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's something to pay attention to. So, okay. Yeah.
All right, so that was Hunter Hunter. I guess we can move on to our sports series. We've got Ice Shield 21, episode 102.
Okay. Why don't you do this one?
Kelly, there's so little to really say about this.
That's why I was making you do it.
Okay, so, Senna, okay, screw it. I'm just going to read this directly off Wikipedia. Senna, Manta, and Suzuna visit Mizumachi in the hospital. When Mizumachi overhears how he could not beat Agon, he goes missing. Senna finds him crying and they talk. Mizu says he's afraid of Agon, and Senna says he is too, but he loves American football, so he will continue to play it. Mizu realizes he become afraid of football and decides to play a game with Senna to overcome it. There you go. Like, this was, like, this... It's not important, really. It's basically a character... It's cheering a character up out of something that's not really important because filler. I'd probably be less down on the filler, except the problem is I decided to jump into this series and watch it with you in the middle of filler. And even worse, all this filler is before what I remember being one of the best games in the manga. So I'm just like, come on, just get to the game. This game was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've only got a few episodes left of it. But yeah, even like by sort of filler standards, this episode felt like pretty... just there.
Mm-hmm.
Like the only memorable thing is a part where, you know, he's like telling like Senna, don't apologize, and he said, oh, okay, I'm sorry, whoops. That was actually kind of funny.
Or how about that part wherever Haruma gets on the TV and predicts that his team's going to beat that other team.
Mm-hmm.
And then that guy throws a football through the TV screen.
Okay, yeah. All right, so then we'll move on to Yomushi Pedal Episode 8.
Okay, so basically, Onoda's still trying to catch up, and he does catch up. And he's able to make it to the other two, and Naruko runs out of gas pretty much because he's a sprinter, and it's not easy for him to stay in it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Onoda just continuing to try to keep pace with Iwazumi, and some cycling technology. It's cycling techno babble. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, basically, like, the big thing now is the question of whether Onoda is going to be able to beat Iwazumi to the top of the mountain. Because I'm pretty sure that, like, once they get there, Onoda will just be so exhausted, he'll, like, just not be able to go on any more. So, I mean, if he finishes the race at this point, then I'm just going to find that really stupid, because it's made like such a point of how he doesn't have like the stamina. He's been going so fast. That would, if he actually finishes this race, he's basically a Mary Sue at that point.
Yeah.
So I don't think he will. I'm pretty sure that he's going to manage to make it to the top, and that at about that point he won't be able to go on longer. The only question is whether he's going to beat Iwazumi there or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess he probably won't, but he'll like probably come close or something, you know, show that, you know, he's got all this potential, but he's still, you know, a beginner essentially.
Yeah.
Also, this is annoying, because I wrote down this note and I put it for Yomamushi Pedal, but this sounds like more like it would be something from Haikyuu, this note. So I'm just going to read it now, and because it was just a part where the subtitles mentions a character like saying something about like the moment an also-ran becomes an ace, and I'm like, also-ran? That's just such an esoteric word to use in a translation.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have even, the only reason I know what that means is because it was one of the lyrics in the musical Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And I had to look it up when I heard it there.
Yeah, it's used more often in sports, though.
Okay, yeah, maybe it is used more in sports, but just felt that, I don't know, I put it under Yomamushi Pedal, but considering how much Haikyuu used the word ace, I feel like it probably was from there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the episode itself, I thought it was okay. I kind of feel like the race is losing a little steam, I guess, in terms of how interested I am in it. I mean, I'm not like finding it boring or I'm not uninterested. It's just, I'm not as into it as I was before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because it's just kind of been going on for a while.
Yeah, I agree that it's gotten a little stale. It's not that the whole series has gone downhill. It's just that,
well, of course not. They're going uphill.
yeah, it's just, I'm ready for the race to end and something else to happen, you know?
Yeah, I'd be interested in getting like some development for some, because obviously we've gotten some stuff for Onoda, Iwazumi, and Naruko, but other than that, like the rest of the characters, like on the team, we don't seem to really know that much about. Like that, I keep like wondering about that guy with the weird green hair, and I'm thinking, well, what's his thing? What's he supposed to be? He seems a little more cynical. Is that what he is? I just don't feel like I know enough about him, and I wish there would be a little more. I assume there probably will be soon, but I'd like to get to that. You know?
Yeah.
All right. Haikyuu episode 8. So we get this is the one that like they just used the word ace so many times. So basically the team's libero, I think is what they refer to the position. He's back in school and he'd be on the team, except he doesn't want to because he won't return until another student returns to the team. But he doesn't want to go back to it because he's kind of become depressed about volleyball after he like felt he didn't do well enough in a game. So basically, a whole lot of the episode is the characters trying to persuade them to get back onto the team. Meanwhile, the sort of advisor to the team is trying to persuade is also trying to persuade someone else to join in to become the coach for the volleyball team. Honestly, this episode is basically people trying to persuade other people to come onto the team when you get down to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the characters were fun enough, and it was funny enough that I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was okay, but I'm starting to lose a little bit of interest in the series. I was just hoping for more volleyball stuff, you know. I'm more into the sports stuff, so.
Yeah, we get more of that coming up soon, I think.
Okay.
But it does seem like it's kind of typical for a lot of sports series to not actually do that much of their sport early on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even Yoamushi Paddle, when it's been focusing all this much on the cycling, initially it wasn't. Well, I guess Yoamushi Paddle did have more of that, but it was just kind of one-on-one races rather than big races. Which actually, I'm curious about how they're going to do that, because cycling is much more sort of an individual sport.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't quite as the same as more your team sport where you have everyone interacting and working together. So we'll see how we get there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's all of our stuff. I suppose we can give our top threes now.
Yeah.
All right, my top three might actually surprise you a little. For number one, I actually am picking Haikyuu. I just thought it was a really fun episode. I enjoyed, even if the plot itself was really simple, I just enjoy the characters and their interactions, and that really sold it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and then in third place there was I put something there, and now I'm suddenly wondering if I should put something else there instead. I'm suddenly having second thoughts. Sure, I'll go with My Hero Academia. Even if some of it I did find kind of boring, I did find the fight itself interesting enough.
Yeah, so my top one would be JoJo. Second place, I'd probably go with Naruto. And third place, I'd have to put Yoamushi Paddle.
Okay. All right. That was So we've got that, and that's our top threes. That's basically all the stuff we've got. Did they actually say yet whether let me look up to see what they were going to do. Are they just going to rerun a Fooly Cooly Alternative?
Yeah, they are. Oh. They're rerunning it. So, yeah.
Okay, that would make some sense. They've announced that then?
I'm pretty sure they did. I bet you could find their post.
See. Looks like looking at this thing, I'm not sure how verified some of this are. It looks they were going to have something there, but it got delayed, so they're going to be showing Samurai Jack again? At least for a while? Okay.
Samurai Jack, though, is going to be at 2 in the morning or something like that.
Yeah, maybe that's later on. Yeah, I checked the Yeah, let me see if I can get the TV schedule here. Hope this thing doesn't go as absurdly slow as it often does. Oh, it does. Okay. Here we go. And let's hope it's actually up to date, because I remember sometimes when you look ahead, it'll give you really outdated stuff. So, okay, according to this, which of course, could be totally wrong. It looks like, yeah, this looks like it might be more alternative. Maybe the Samurai Jack thing I'm looking at is something different. Whatever, we'll find out this Saturday, won't we?
Yeah.
Okay. So, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, not really.
Okay. The only thing, I just want to mention this because I found it a little weird. So, I'm not going to, like, get into, like, the real politics or anything, but since midterms are coming up, there people are, you know, putting, like, you know, various, like, yard signs up now talking about what candidates they support. And I've noticed there's been a bunch of people putting up one for people who aren't actually running against anyone. They're running unopposed, and people are still getting, like, buying their yard signs and putting them up. And I'm thinking, well, what's the point of that?
Well, I think it's name recognition. So whenever they come up for re-election and they are against someone, then people remember that name. That's the reason why they do that.
Maybe. I don't know. I guess I was just wondering, because I keep, like, seeing these signs for people who don't even have an opponent, and it just struck me as, wow, that seems a little weird. Mm-hmm. All right. But that's politics in a nutshell. Okay, well, that's my random observation of the week. So I guess we'll see you next week.